it actually made sense. You know, when we came here and then we saw people like, you know, with 20 properties, 30 properties, first we thought they're like joking around, you know. And then when we started making friends, they showed us everything around. And we thought, oh, this is like really easy, you know, like, and then that 257 is the easiest way and the best way to go, you know.
Welcome to the Cashflow for Life podcast. We believe there are two types of people in this world. People that have greater cash flow coming in every single month, or people who have cash flow going out. We believe you need to be the type of person that has cash flow coming in, and that is what this podcast is all about. Our mantra is simple. If you take care of real estate for the first 5 years, real estate will take care of you for the rest of your life. If you're looking to achieve financial freedom through real estate investing, you're in the right place. Andrew Holmes, a renowned expert in the field, is your guide on this journey. Andrew is the driving force behind National RE Invest, the largest real estate investors association in the United States. Together, we're here to help you build wealth and create more cash flow in your life. Let's get into the show.
Imagine being 23 and 25 years old, right? Here's the story of the two bros, which starting with Quickie Marts to getting into real estate and how they have built cash flow for life. So this is their story. All right, so we have the two bros in the studio. So guys, welcome. So let's start with this, right? At what age did you guys start investing in real estate?
So this was like about 2 years ago. I think I was 22.
We started 2 years ago when we met you for the first time, you know.
Okay, so he was 22, you were 25?
25, yeah.
Okay, got it. And before that, what were you guys doing?
So we had like a couple of businesses going on at that time and we wanted to expand. So I was YouTubing every day, night, you know, how to expand my portfolio or anything like that. And it came out to be like invest in stocks where I lost $10,000-$15,000, invest in real estate. And then I had no idea how to get into real estate thing, you know, and then.
So, okay, got it. All right. But before you showed up to us, right, you went to another guru in Vegas and you kind of did that whole circuit, right?
We lost about 14 grand on that one. And right before the stock market thing happened. So
okay. So you guys were kind of looking, right?
Yeah, we were in a hunt, yeah.
Okay, got it. And you guys try your hands at cryptocurrency?
We did.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Minus 17.
Minus 17 on crypto. Okay, at least you guys are honest. So at the time, what type of heritage-wise were you guys from?
So we are from India originally. I was born in, we both were born in India. We came here around like 10 years ago.
Yeah. 10 years ago. Okay, got it. And so what business were you guys doing before you got into real estate?
So we had like a jewelry store and two grocery stores were going on.
Okay. So you guys had two, and just for everybody to kind of get a perspective of it, you guys had these stores in Chicago, like right?
These are actually in the city.
In the city. So you have kind of one of those corner store type of things.
Mom and pop
right?
store.
Mom and pop, Quickie Mart type of stores.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. All right. So with that, and like even with the jewelry store, it's like a small jewelry store is what you guys were running.
Not a very big fancy showroom, something, you know. Like, so we had a, like 1,000 square feet store.
Got it.
And, you know.
So let me ask you this. You're running this business and it's kind of your dad runs one of the stores.
Yeah.
You guys were running another of the stores. Yep. So were you guys making decent money doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was great money, including like if you like include everything together, it was amazing, you know.
But okay.
It was just like too time consuming, I think.
Okay. So were you guys working there as owner operators basically in the store?
Yes, exactly.
I've done that for like a whole year, but then we hired employees and all. So
okay.
That's when we have like, you know.
Got it.
I worked as owner operator for like 7-8 years.
Every day. Okay. Got it. So every day, basically, you're going there first thing in the morning till night.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
9 to 9.
9 to 9. Okay. And that can be a long day.
It is a long day.
Right?
Ridiculous.
Because
for 8 years, I didn't see sunlight.
Right? Yeah. because you're getting there early and then you're basically closing up shop. But a lot of times people are like, man, you're making $150,000, $160,000. What are you complaining about? Well, not really, because that's the whole profit, right? Because that's, so if you had done something else, what could you have made there? right? And now you have, so it's not that it's a bad business, it's actually a great business, right?
Definitely.
Cash on cash return wise is a great business.
Oh, it's like amazing, you know, like if you're coming in this country and you have to stand up like really quick,
right.
That way is like, you can go that way and you can really jumpstart your career or your future. You know?
So investment's really low, you know?
Yeah, low investment. You see a lot of immigrants, right? Sometimes it can be in the tough parts of town. So there are other factors you have to consider. And a lot of times immigrants, I mean, be it a lot of Arabs, a lot of Koreans, a lot of Chinese people, yeah. A lot of Indians, right, have opened these little mom and pop stores because nobody else wants to do that work.
Plus immigrants have the best work ethics because they know where they're coming from and they need money, you know, to just work, you know.
So you guys kind of, cut your teeth over there. Then what was your reason to come to real estate?
It was mostly like time and financial freedom. So I was caught up in those stores for like 12 hours a day. That was, you know, it's pretty bad actually for like, considering my age, I should be like out there, you know, like doing better things.
But okay, got
not
it.
Not behind a register.
All right. So basically, I mean, considering your age, it's like, at that age, you're supposed to be having fun.
Supposedly,
is what you're saying,
yeah.
Basically, right? Okay. What was that journey like? I mean, were you guys thinking about doing wholesales? Were you guys thinking about doing flips, rentals? What was that like?
So our main focus was only on rentals because, you know, we were like comfortable what we were doing at that time. So we focused on getting more rentals. So like in like 5 to 10 years, we are more stable in our life, you know, and we can enjoy those rentals, like, you know, all that stuff.
I mean, if you really look at it, we'll talk about kind of where you guys are today already in a year and a half, right? But I mean, by 30,
yeah,
you guys should be done. Right?
That's
exactly.
Meaning, what the goal is.
Like,
yeah.
Really, you know, and then start getting married and start making babies, right?
Exactly.
This is just realistic. So you guys already had the idea of owning rental properties, having cash flow before you showed up to us?
No, actually, we had no idea. But I did a lot of research before coming in. So
okay.
I had idea where we want to go.
Okay.
But I didn't know how to go there.
Got it.
Know?
Okay. So. Got it. So let me ask you this, right? You go out to Vegas, right? And you see this whole other way of doing real estate. Now looking back, what were the challenges that you had with that sort of situation?
I just think there was no training with that program at all.
Okay.
Like there was nothing one-on-one. There was nobody to call actually. Like,
okay.
It's all pre-recorded stuff that you look at and just go from there. Like, how are you going to do it?
The biggest thing was mindset actually. They were showing you the big numbers and changing your mindset, but in reality, they had nothing to show.
No actionable steps.
No actionable steps. So when we came here and then we know, like, you know, these are the steps and this is a goal and it is repeatable and you can, make yourself bigger in this, duplicatable.
And so for everybody listening, everybody watching this, right, a lot of times it's like we all start out with that dream. Oh, my God, I want to buy a jet. I want to do this. I want to do that. Right? The question boils down to, and it's great to say, oh, yeah, you know, don't listen to your, you know, why would you want to listen to somebody who is not a multimillionaire? And all of this stuff sounds great, right, because we all want that. But the question becomes is how? How do you go from where you are? What is that step one, step two, step three, step four?
Exactly.
And that's where really you build a foundation is laying the step-by-step-by-step process
correct.
Is really
yeah.
what it is. So you guys kind of come to us, right? You show up. And at that time, right, did you guys come with the mindset of cash flow? Or was it like, oh, let me go check this thing out. Let me see how this works out.
that's what the initial thing was. Like, he's like, you know what? There's another guy that's going to teach us the same thing, but
it's in
local,
Chicago where we live, so it's in-house, you know?
Yeah, so might as well slap over there.
If you lose another $200, it's not going to hurt us.
Okay,
like, he's
it.
Like, let's do it. So.
Okay, got it. So you guys show up and then, I mean, obviously now looking back, rest is history, right? So let's just go back to kind of when you started getting around us.
Yeah.
Right? Did the mentality of that if you take care of real estate for the first 5 years, real estate will take care of you for the rest of your life, right? That's a basic philosophy that we follow with, you know, 257 cash flow for life. Did that philosophy make sense?
It actually made sense, you know, when we came here and then we saw people like, you know, with 20 properties, 30 properties. First, we thought they're like joking around, you know. And then when we started making friends, they showed us everything around. And we thought, oh, this is like really easy, you know, like, And then that 257 is the easiest way and the best way to go, you know.
It started to like seem realistic now that it's possible to do it, you know, like
because there's a step-by-step
process, right? Yeah.
So basically for audiences listening, it's 2 years, 5 properties, and get them paid off in seven to ten years, yeah. Right? Because it's gonna depend on what pricing and so on and so forth. And you know, you can do 10 properties, you can do 20 properties. The question is not whether you stop. The question is, how do we do it in a systematic step-by-step-by-step process so that it makes sense?
Right.
So when you guys bought your first property, right, what do you guys look at whenever you're looking at properties? Because the process I was telling you guys was, I'm like, hey, guys, listen, if you truly want to do this correctly, it's going to take 2 to 5 years, meaning you'll start making money, right, from your first property. And that can be done in 2 months, 2 or 3 months. But to really see the big results, right? Quote, unquote, I'm a multimillionaire. That takes a little bit of time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Process, yeah.
And were you guys okay with that? Because generally, people who are 23, 24, 25, patience is not a virtue today.
No, so the thing with us was like, we were financially doing okay at that time. So there was like not a huge problem. So we were okay with being like patient and then taking time with it. And actually doing the right steps at the right time. So
and plus in our culture, everybody says if you jump on the fifth step without taking the first step,
you're gonna fall
and you'll break your teeth. You know?
Right. I mean, so it's like a, right. I mean, if you start running too fast
right?
your Indian parents, they're going to pull you back. Oh, no, exactly. No, slow down.
Slow down.
It's a cultural thing. But you guys were used to, you're running your little grocery store, little bit corner store. So that was basically paying the bills. That was pretty decent.
Exactly.
Right? So you're like, we're going to keep that going. So that's your treadmill.
Yeah.
Right? That you have to show up on. And then you're going to start building wealth on the side.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. So at that point, where were you? Because both your parents, right, at least your dad, he's an entrepreneur type. Like you guys came to America, opened a little corner store type of thing. Was he like gung-ho, oh my God, my kids are, you know, going down that path of entrepreneurship? What was there? Because Indian parents certainly have strong viewpoints.
Right. So before actually showing up to you and I was going around everybody, you know, who invests in real estate, I was having a fight at a home for like, it lasted for 6 months. That was the biggest and longest fight I lasted, you know. And I was telling, let's start investing in real estate, you know. And their point of view was like, no, this is a bad idea, you know.
They were like, what's $500 cash flow going to change? How is that going to change our lives?
But yeah. Like, what do you mean?
$500?
So, I mean, no, seriously, because it's like, what is that going to do? Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, shut up and work at the store. And buy one more store. Right?
They still have me in school for some reason. So I'm trying to finish that.
No, right. They were telling me $500, you can make that in a couple of hours. Why you have to wait a month to get that done, you know?
Right.
But it was the mindset issue, you know?
Right.
But, yeah.
No, because I think what it is sometimes, you know, you come to a new country, you struggle, you make something work. And then it's like, hey, let's not mess with it. Keep doing what we're doing.
Or try to expand that stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Expand that stuff because, you know, there can be nobody else smarter or there cannot be any other way. This is the best way,
best way, right?
But in some ways it works for immigrants, right? Because they're very focused in what they do. So clearly, I mean, I truly feel like if you're an Indian man, you have an advantage, right? Because your parents, from when you are a baby, they tell you, you're nothing.
Right?
You are stupid.
Right? You're worth $0.
Right. No, because, I mean, they certainly have that whole thing where they're going to basically beat you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's just a cultural thing.
The stress level is so high that you think it's a regular anywhere, you know?
Right, exactly.
So you start dealing with that much high stress and you get comfortable
around
that.
You get used to it, right? Yeah. So that makes sense. So kind of coming from that culture, right, and acceptance to new ideas is not necessarily something that they're generally open to. So initially when you guys show up and you guys are, oh my God, we're in, right? You guys come to Mastery and get it up and rolling, right? I mean, you guys are in a family business, right? So where you're, the three of you guys are kind of, one person's running one store, one person's running one store, right? So this is a very good family unit. Did that create, on a serious note, some tensions or some things that your dad is like, I don't know where these guys are going?
Initially, that did happen a little bit, but I mean, they got on track pretty quick.
Okay,
know?
Because so they realized you guys were serious.
Right, yeah.
Right. So we came, we joined Mastery, and for like first couple of properties, we didn't even tell what we are doing because we want to show them what we are doing. You know, we didn't want to tell them.
So you guys were trying to prove yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it.
So after a couple of them, we said like, let's go. It was Sunday, and then we went on a, like all the property tours, and I told them, this is ours, that's ours. You know, they said, you're joking. You know, I said, okay, here's let's the closing papers, you know.
Got
and then
it.
They were
so
like shocked.
You guys had not said anything to them at that point.
Not for the first three or four, I think.
For three or four?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Wow. So basically, they're like, these boys are running around doing something.
Doing something. Right? Right?
But they weren't quite sure exactly what you guys were doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go through some of the numbers, right? The first property you guys bought was not, by our standards, was not necessarily the best deal, right? What did you buy that one for at that time?
That purchase was, it was listed for 125, but it was like a after COVID market, so it was really, really hot. So we paid $15,000 over asking price, and we got it for like 140.
Man, that's cheap, actually. Now, looking back?
Now it is cheap.
Now, looking back, that is cheap. Now, yeah. Of course. But at the time, for some reason, I remember, I'm like, yeah, that maybe that's a little expensive.
I mean, considering the location,
but now it's like,
an A-plus suburb.
Oh my God, it is an A-plus suburb,
yeah.
Right? Now it seems cheap, obviously,
cheap,
right?
I would buy the whole street.
Actually, you know, I looked at the property exactly like the one you guys have today.
Okay.
Right? Today I looked at it and 215.
No really? Way.
Yeah, 215.
How much work does it need?
It needs a lot of work.
Oh God.
Right? It needs a lot of work, but 215. And they're
that's
like, oh my
insane.
God, it's a deal. I'm like, no, it's not a deal.
Right?
That's
definitely
not a deal.
No.
Right? But how much work did you guys plan on doing and how much did you end up doing?
So we initially planned, when we did our numbers before buying it, we were at 55,000.
Okay.
But we ended up at 75 or 80,000 all in, you know.
75 to 80,000.
Yeah.
Right. Now looking back, right, what would you say, was there a mistake? What happened?
No, it was not a mistake, actually.
So now looking back, would you guys look back and say, oh my God, there were some mistakes, or was that just a part of the learning process?
Are you enjoying the show thus far? You know what they say, knowledge is not power, but rather it's the application of knowledge that is power. That's why we are excited to announce the new dates for our Build Your Empire 3-day conference and property tour. At this game-changing event, you'll discover how to build lasting wealth with real estate, learn step-by-step methods, avoid common mistakes, and get insights from dozens of real estate and financial experts. If you are listening to the podcast, you know that real estate is a team sport, and we're here to introduce you to the local pros who can help you every step of the way. This event is your opportunity to walk through active real estate deals in Chicago and nearby neighborhoods. And the best part is, you can either attend live or virtually. Go to andrewholmesevents.com and get your early bird tickets now. At the event, you'll see properties being transformed into flips, rentals, or wholesale properties, giving you a rare and valuable learning experience outside the classroom. Meet and learn from successful students who've profited from our mentorship. Hear their stories and struggles, and discover how you can follow in their footsteps, regardless of your background or experience. And so much more. We also have a VIP package that will give you access to our exclusive networking sessions and an opportunity to connect and meet with Andrew himself. Plus, we even give you a hot lunch all of the days you are there. For more information and to secure your spot, visit andrewholmesevents.com. We sell out every time, so don't miss this opportunity to transform your real estate career. We will see you at our next event. And now, back to the show.
Like, personally, we don't call as a mistake, you know, it's a huge learning experience, actually. You go to college, you pay $200,000 a year, and you learn something out of it, right? We only paid $20,000, and we learned.
You learned a lot.
Trade
also, it was our first
you know?
One, so we were okay with it. You know, like, we didn't know anything. Like,
right.
I don't even know what screws I should get or what drivel do I need.
But, I mean, obviously, you learned pretty quick on the first one, right?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, and a lot of times that happens, and you're so right, right? People go to college, get themselves into a couple hundred thousand dollars in debt.
Debt, right.
Right, and walk out with zero. Right.
Yet
here you were over clearly because the house needed more work than you thought it did.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Right. Because initially when I looked at it, I'm like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Right. But regardless, right. What did that property appraise for?
It appraised for like 265.
$265.
Yeah.
So you were in it for about
140
what?
And AD is like 210.
210.
2 to 15, yes.
Okay. So did you have some money left in it after you refinanced it?
Yeah, like around 15,000.
15,000 was left in it. Okay. So Airbnb, midterm rental, or long-term rental?
Airbnb. We did Airbnb on that house, you know.
Okay, Airbnb. Yeah. And what were the numbers like on that first house?
So first, when we began Airbnb, it was not doing good, you know. We were cash flowing like $200, $300. But suddenly after, like, when the summer market hit, we started cash flowing like 1,000, 1,500, you know.
A month.
I think we haven't touched 2,500 one month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So it started averaging out. And plus also you guys learned how to run the Airbnbs, yeah, right? Business, adjustment of prices, all the stuff that you have to pay attention to.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
So that was property number one, mm-hmm. right? How did you fund that property? Did you guys have that kind of cash? How did you guys fund that?
We did not have that cash, but we used private money from Mastery itself.
Okay, and so you guys basically learned how to get private money from the group.
Right.
Right? So you're taking private money from the group, rehabbing the property, refinancing it, paying it back, putting it online, and then repeat the process again.
Exactly.
The process. Right? Okay. Correct, yeah. So you did your first property. First property, you guys did not GC.
Yes.
Right? You had somebody else do that property for you.
Yes. So our lender was the GC as well on that one, so which was convenient.
Okay.
So
got it.
For the first one, we had no idea what to do, you know. We even didn't know, like, how to open a lockbox, you know.
Sure.
So it was very comfortable for us to go with the GC or something like that.
Got it. Know? Okay. Yeah. No, so, I mean, this last year and a half has been a tremendous learning experience for you guys.
Oh, yes.
I mean, a tremendous, all sorts of things, I have to say, to the audience that not only that, they're sitting that the day we're all going out to dinner, right?
That was a funny one.
And these guys are sitting and on the phone, he's looking up properties, finds the property on Facebook, Marketplace of all places, and makes an appointment while he's sitting next door to me in the car. I'm supposed to be the master of finding properties.
He was driving the car. He was in the back seat.
It's so funny. But I mean, genuinely, guys, listen, at the end of the day, right? The early bird gets the worm, especially in a market as hot as it is, right? You see the property, you got to jump on it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you guys have come a long way since then. So what's been the strategy like? So today, when we talk about total rental properties that you guys have, like I know you guys are buying one. You're buying two?
We have one closing tomorrow and one on Monday.
Oh, one tomorrow and one on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, so once those two close, how many rental properties would you guys have?
We'll be at 14 then.
14.
Is it 12 or 14?
14.
Something, yeah, about that, yeah.
14 in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Damn, that's good. No, I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, our goal for this year is like.
One a month.
So we are trying to reach that goal, pushing ourselves, you know.
So since you guys are talking about it, let me ask you this, right? Where are your parents' heads at now?
They're home relaxing.
They're like, no, this work. You know, maybe this work.
This is right. Yeah.
My dad other day said, you know, like, let me know if you need any help. You know, like, I can go around and take care of the projects. You know?
It was kind of a fun thing that I think maybe to your second or third 3-day, right? Your parents,
they were home.
I mean, it's what a great thing. Right. Yeah, because you guys are on stage, because we're talking about, hey, this is something that anybody can accomplish. Right. At the time, clearly you guys didn't have this many properties. Yeah. But for a parent to come and watch their kids kind of take the helm and run it, not only in their own business, but now you guys started a whole new business, now you're going to be teaching your parents.
That's right.
So have you guys made your parents now a part of what you guys do?
Yes, actually, we teach our dad how to find the deals, you know, what are numbers and what we do exactly. So we have given that responsibility to our dad.
So it's like a three-people team that are looking just for properties every single day, you know.
Because that's what I was going back to was that to find one property a month, and you guys are still finding properties with huge margins.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If not anything, your margins have gotten better because now you understand the business.
Yeah. Right.
So the
last
one we refied, we almost got like $42,000 out of it.
Last property you refied.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you bought it, rehabbed it, refinanced it, got an extra $42,000
out, and
the property still cash flows.
Still cash flowing, yeah.
Right? So, and you guys are not going to the hood. Sometimes people think, oh my God, you know, suburbs of Chicago, right? You guys
are all like B minus areas. That's it.
Solid. So A is going to be affluent. B is going to be kind of nice, solid bread and butter areas and you're not even going to C areas.
Oh, not at all.
Okay, got it.
We are not comfortable with C at all.
Okay, got it. No, because you guys experienced that, right?
Yeah,
with the store. You guys don't get held up at the store.
Yeah,
like, I did. Yeah, this was in October. I was held at a gunpoint.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you guys just sold one of those businesses,
yeah,
right?
We did. Yeah, actually.
What was the reason for that?
It was just too time consuming now, you know, like we can do better things with that time.
Yeah.
And then if you compare the cash flow or anything like that, we can make more just by going around and spending our time doing nothing, actually.
So let's explain this, because this is important, right? Because you're running a corner grocery store, yeah, and this is important for people to understand, right? You can make, what kind of money could you take home? Now, as an owner-operator, meaning your labor is in there, right? It built in, yes, there.
So
what kind of money were you guys taking home on a decent year?
As an owner-operator, you could easily take like $10,000 to $12,000 home.
Monthly.
From each store. Yeah.
So basically, if I said about 100 to 120, 130 is what you're going to take home.
Yearly. Yeah.
Right? That's easy.
That's easy.
Okay, good. So now what people don't understand is that the question becomes is how do I replace that and can I scale it? Right? So in the last year and a half, right, you guys are now at about 14 properties,
yeah,
right? So 14 properties, how much money is that net a month after everything is settled in? Like meaning net after all expenses, what will that look like?
So we are around like 6,500 right now. You know?
6,500
yeah,
a month.
Yeah. Some are less. So it's
so like since we have a couple of Airbnbs, the cash flow, like it varies a little bit depending on the month and it might go up, it might go down. So we just...
But ballpark 6,500.
Yeah.
Okay. So 6,500 starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Now you have equity in the properties. You have cash flow. You have depreciation.
Yeah.
Right. Against the properties.
And cashed out also.
And you guys have cashed out. Yeah. Right. So you don't have... Because when you're opening a store type of a business,
yeah,
you're looking at, hey, how many years does it take to get my money back?
Right. Yeah.
So if I pay $30,000 for it, how long before I get my money back?
Right.
Basically, I earn my investment back.
Right.
Here, you've gotten all of that back. And on top of that, you have a ton of equity.
Equity. Right.
And you don't have to be there.
Exactly.
Not at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So on top of that, the reason you guys decided to sell the store was because there was nothing going up. It was only going to be stuck.
You just keep running on it and then you're like, what's next? What's new? You know, like,
right.
We were stuck at suppose 120 and then suppose like, I'll just give you example. We have two more properties coming in, right? If we just refi those out, we are getting like 55,000 cash out.
Right.
So if you calculate all that, it's not worth keeping the stores anymore. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then with that, I'm stuck at the store. So our manpower goes down too.
Your time.
Right.
Your time is worth money.
Yeah.
Right?
More, yeah.
So now on top of that, so you guys have rentals, Airbnbs, right? And these are basic, boring Airbnbs.
Oh, very boring.
Nothing very exciting at all.
I wouldn't live there.
Right. So now on top of that, you guys did a couple of flips.
So we did one flip by like a couple, like 7-8 months ago.
Okay.
And that went really good. And the second one we tried, it's under construction. We had a little issues with that, but again, it's back on track now.
Okay.
And then it should hit the market like another month or two. So,
okay. Yeah. So the first flip you guys did, what kind of money did you guys make on that one?
So that one, net, it was $78,000.
$78,000. Okay. Now, obviously, let's just keep it realistic, right? Not every flip you're not going to, because that was a small flip.
That was a really tiny.
A very small flip. You bought the property for how much?
84.
You guys off market?
Off market, yeah.
From who? Wholesaler?
From Mastery.
Okay, got it. So
And lending from Mastery.
Right, so you guys have zero out of pocket.
Zero out of pocket.
And then how much did you guys put in to rehab it?
20.
20?
20,000.
So you got a wholesale deal from Mastery. Hey, man, am I not the one who's supposed to be teaching this?
I don't know.
I did not get the wholesale deal and you guys got... No, I mean, but seriously, at the end of the day, we have so many people today, right? That this is the power of networking.
Right.
Right? You guys are networking. You guys are hustling.
I mean, you know how much you show up. So.
Right. No. I mean, more power to you, right? You use the money from Mastery.
Mm-hmm.
You take out a profit of $78,000, right? That's a sweet deal.
Yeah.
That is a sweet
deal.
And
that one close to close was like 45 days, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you sell that. Now, this particular property you were flipping because of some issues with the city, right? That became a little bit of a headache.
Definitely.
So on this one, you may make a little bit less.
Yeah.
Right? But you have to roll with the punches.
I mean, it's a cost of doing business. You know?
Right.
Sometimes
if you
more,
keep
sometimes
doing the right thing and it's working fine, I think there's something wrong.
Right,
you
exactly.
got to take a hit somewhere.
Right.
You know?
So somewhere it's going to,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That not every deal is going to go perfect, right? And you have to understand that's how business is sometimes, right?
Right?
So what's next for you guys, right? Is it to go start doing more flips? Is it to go build a wholesale business? What's the focus for you guys?
So right now, we actually, after doing two flips, our focus is mainly on getting more rentals, which are off market.
Okay.
Because we compared ourselves, like we, in flipping, we lose asset and Uncle Sam comes and knocks on our door that 30% is due. But by just keeping on rentals, we don't lose our asset. We cash out. It's the same like a flip, you know. You do a cash flow also. And, you know, it's a great thing.
So let's explain this, right? Guys, think about this. If you are buying property, especially off market, meaning you're going actually looking for deals. So you're finding deals with deeper discounts. And think about this. If you do, let's say, two nice, good, solid flips, you make $100,000. You make $100,000 and guess what's going to happen? You're going to pay about $25,000, $30,000 in tax, right? So what are you going to actually take home? $65,000, $70,000, barely, if that, right?
Plus, you lose your asset, the asset is gone, you fix it up, and somebody else is going to enjoy it.
Instead, if you do four or five rentals, and of each rental, you cash out 20, 20, 20, 20. Think about it. 100,000, you realize you pay zero tax. Zero tax. And the tenant is going to work to pay that property off. Yeah. And Uncle Sam doesn't tax you a dime. Why? Because it was refi money.
It was refi money, right?
Right. Exactly. I mean, you could go buy whatever you want with it, have all the fun. Take your kids, you know, go take your friends to Disney or party, whatever you like to do. But literally, that is refi money, right? And that is the power of scaling. So for you guys, it's doubling down, right? It's doubling down and just doing deals with even bigger margins.
Even bigger margins. Yeah.
That's really the
key. The goal for this year has, like, it needs to be one property a month.
One property a month. Okay.
It should match our numbers too. Like, we are not going crazy about like one property a month.
Like, it needs to work though. Like,
the numbers have to make sense. Got it. All right. Great. So when people say, hey, the market is crazy, right? It really doesn't matter what part of the country you're in, especially on the buy side, right? The market is crazy. How are you guys finding deals?
So we've been lucky with MLS so far. So all our deals are through MLS, except two of the rentals that we have. They were all from... they were both from wholesalers in Mastery, actually. So
okay.
Yeah.
So you found it from other people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. As far as, are you guys going to do any sort of a off-market, like mailings or calls, or what's the plan for you guys?
Probably we'll start doing mailers and like cold calling also. And we were thinking just now, like, to do a Facebook post where we can just target like a particular area or something.
Or maybe run a little bit of Facebook ads kind of thing.
Yeah, Facebook ads.
Got it. All right, cool.
Yeah. Like run a video ad, you know.
So what is it for both of you, right? We laugh about it all the time, right? That at 24, 26 kind of ages, I mean, man, literally by 30, right? What does that realistically look like? Is that 40,000 a month, 50,000 a month? What does that number look like?
I mean, if we keep pushing ourselves, we should be at 50,000 a month, you know.
50,000 a month, net cash flow.
Net cash flow, right?
No, I think this is kind of awesome, right? That for two brothers to do something together, your dad is involved, right? Yeah. And to build it as a family this early, you can literally... You know, by the time you guys are 30, 32, 33, you're getting old.
Getting old.
Right?
Supposedly, I mean, we're getting old,
like,
at 30.
Literally, you could be at $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 net cash flow a month.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no uncle, Indian uncle, right?
No,
that can keep up, that has up just it, a store or a gas station that can keep up with $600,000-$700,000 a year.
Year.
Exactly. Just in cash flow income.
Yeah.
No possible way.
I mean, it's impossible to do that kind of money. But having said that, anything else you guys want to share as we wrap up?
I just want to thank the program. I mean, that's all I got to say. Like, we went other places, never happened, but we got lucky here, and then... Just want to say thank you to you.
No, I think you guys started a group called, you know, Under 30, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I think it'll have a lot of inspiration for a lot of people.
Right.
Right. Because it's not just, it works for, you know, older people, right? It works for anybody.
Anybody, right?
It's a numbers game at the end of the day. If you can learn, and I think it's easier for younger people if they have a little bit of focus, right?
Exactly.
You guys clearly have the work ethic. So guys, having said that, It was fun to have these guys here. Not only are they part of Mastery, but we've become friends, and they could be my, you know, Indian brothers from another mother kind of thing. So, but this is all about, number one, it's about singular-minded focus, right? What they've accomplished in the last year, year and a half, it does not take big multi-unit properties, anything fancy to do, right? Starting out with a lot of money, none of that. It's a matter of single-minded focus. Having said that, this is Andrew with Cashflow for Life. Make sure you share the podcast. Tell your friends about it, because that's how we get to grow. So thanks a bunch and have a good day.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Cashflow for Life podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform that you are listening to us on. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends. Achieving financial freedom is all about creating the necessary cash flow in your life. Our team has designed an entire ecosystem for you to be able to not only become a successful real estate investor, but for you to build higher cash flows month after month. Join our community at www.nationalreinvest.com. to see which event is coming up that you can be a part of and how you can be a part of our community. Once again, it's www.nationalreinvest.com. We will see you on the next episode.